Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are so excited to be able to have this platform to tell stories that are so much more in-depth and interview people in real time and real life. And I am super excited about interviewing Chandler Williams, owner of Modus Photography. Chandler, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
And you are very comfortable around cameras and in front of cameras and behind cameras.
So much more comfortable behind cameras,
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now your time to come on out and be on the podcast because you have so much going on.
I do.
That it is just like hard to even comprehend all that you have going on. So for the listeners and the audience out there, we're located nearby one another with our offices, and Chandler has been in the area doing amazing photography of landscapes and beaches and portraits, and even shot for Architectural Digest. He started, I think, cutting your teeth in real estate photography. Is that right? Yeah, that you told me about. And then that just evolved as he's an artist, and it has evolved into something that's quite impressive, and we'll get into it.
Thank you.
Grew up with a camera. Your parents were always had a camera in their hand, and you would travel a lot with them. This is me reading your bio, and then you had a camera. So take us back to when this love affair with the camera started.
So I think it started more traveling than it was camera. So I kind of, the two met my senior year in high school, which to date me is 1999, representing. So yeah, 35 millimeter, and I was fortunate to be able to work with a local sports journalist because I live here growing up and graduated in Freeport, and so this is my backyard, and I was able to kind of take that class on and independently work with him, developing in canisters and using digital negative feeds, which were like the up-and-coming. I read the other day that I bought my first camera. It was in May 99. I had my parents one before, you know, like 97, 98. But the first digital camera Nikon had released in June 1999.
Really?
So, so just between that, graduating high school, and then kind of being a free spirit and traveling, went together. So I just found the comfort of having the camera with me and kind of documenting my travels.
So when you were sort of apprenticing under Richard, would he take you on actual real assignments?
Some of them were, yeah. It's like we did a lot of, I remember like going to the rodeo in Bonifay back in the day. So that's
I've been there one time.
So, yeah.
It's very interesting.
But it was film, you know, so you couldn't use flash. You couldn't use flash as sports, you know, because of the football players or whatever. So I did some of the assignments for him, and that was for the Walton Sun.
Yeah.
So that was back in the day. But
Wow. Yeah,
so you had to shoot with a higher speed film, like 1200 or 1400, but... I had some assignments with him, and
that's pretty
I don't
great.
Really remember shooting anything locally like Freeport or kind of news editorial, but yeah, it's mainly all sports.
So then you hit the road, you were telling me, when you were 16 and you went traveling by yourself.
Yeah, I'm a competitive athlete at heart, and so I played really competitive basketball, and my oldest sister lives in New Mexico, and I went out there one summer. They had a really competitive basketball camp when I was 15. And then I turned 16 and kind of got bored of the area, and I bought myself a Greyhound ticket and went and lived out with her in New Mexico. I'd met the basketball coach, and I got a place on the team out there. That's kind of...
And what happened to that career? Like, how did that... were you going to go?
Yeah, I had scholarships, but at heart I was too much of a hippie with a camera.
Are you kidding?
I had three athletic scholarships to... like Johnson and Wells, Flagler, really? And then a small school in Virginia.
Wow.
And I was able to, there's a lot of politics in sports, and so that didn't really sit with the too right with me, and I love to travel more than I like. So, you know.
So with your twins who are 6'2", do they like playing basketball?
You know, what's crazy is my wife actually, this is kind of hurts for myself and my wife, because my wife played collegiate basketball.
Oh, okay.
At University of North Florida.
Oh, so you were both basketball players. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her sister played, broke every record there.
Wow.
But my twin boys, who are 6'3", don't play basketball.
Okay, well.
They do play track, and they're very athletic. They're doing pole vaulting. Actually, their state track meet's coming up. But our youngest, he plays soccer and basketball.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, they're still doing their sport thing. Do they wield a camera?
My youngest does. Yeah, okay. He always wants. He has one of my old Nikons.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always.
Well, someone's gonna follow in your footsteps, right? Right? I mean, that's the theme of the day, actually, with some of the podcasts that we had earlier with Erica and her daughter Mackenzie from Seaside.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you travel around. You kind of like making your way, and you just have obviously a passion with the camera, right? And then, when did you open Modus?
So back in the day, like 2006, I mean, I was shooting like family photos and friends and stuff back in film, like 99, 2000, because I was kind of the only person that had a camera. And I used to work at Eckerd's drugstore, where now the Chick-fil-A is.
So cannot see that.
That was back
cannot
in the day.
See that
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got kind of hooked there. But in 2006, it was kind of crazy town. I mean, everything, my wife and I bought a new home in Hammock Bay. And found out we're having twins. Economically, it was like crazy town.
Yeah.
I started a property management company with my older brother. So it's financial, like, it was basically the reason I started Modus Photography was because I needed to bring more revenue in. And so that's initially why, because I knew I could make money at it. But
Beach portraits, was that the thought at the time?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And because I was working a full time, probably 50 plus 60 hours a week. That's kind of how it started. I'd known Jeff at Bruno's. I used to deliver pizzas with him in high school, so he let me come back. And I would slap flyers on pizza boxes promoting beach portraits just to have additional revenue.
It's a good idea.
And so that kind of grew, it kind of grew into, getting where we were stable again financially, even though like economic downturn was happening. And then I realized that like growing that was kind of my creative outlet. Like property management was my full-time occupation, and I was getting paid well for it, but the photography started to grow, and then I started shooting in water again stuff, and then I developed a relationship with YOLO Board.
Way back then you did.
So right when, we went to Costa Rica and like all kind of stuff. So I was comfortable in the water with water housings. I've surfed and had my first water housing. I think I actually showed Jordan yesterday. It's like this little yellow camera from 1998.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of when it started, 2006.
And then self-taught all along?
Yeah, self-taught.
Which is
That's kind of when I first started Modus.
Okay. And then so I see the Modus branded black trucks.
Uh-huh.
Then you've got your location, your retail location here near us and also on 30A near Chincoli.
Yeah, Sunrise Coffee.
Sunrise Coffee there, too. So how are you managing all that? And then everything else that we're going to talk about that I just saw yesterday, where you're going is like you're taking off like a rocket.
So I work better when I have a lot going on. So I have a great team, for sure. I mean, the gallery manager and my assistants, like they really are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So which allows me to be more creative, allows me to kind of think, allows me to not be necessarily day-to-day.
Yeah.
The studio, which you saw yesterday, which is the newest venture, is kind of my office happy place, because I have done a lot of commercial, like large-scale national commercial work, and that's kind of transitioned from COVID from before. So, but studio work, so that's kind of my happy place.
So would they come here for to hire you, or you would go?
No, typically I'll go there.
You'd go there?
Yeah, we did a ton of work with Salamander Development Group, so the Henderson and Destin, we shot all their marketing collateral.
Yeah.
Like pre-construction, post-construction. Shot with them in New Orleans, the Nopsey Hotel. And these are higher-end architectural kind of frames we're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Charleston, and that's a beautiful hotel, Hotel Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Architectural Digest had a feature on that.
Yeah.
And then Kahala Resort in Oahu. So, yeah, typically I would go a lot of more like lifestyle resorts and then an architectural element as well. But
and so peppered into that season too, then you would have teach workshops and have workshops.
Yeah, so I work with a lot of Appleseed Expeditions, who's here based locally. I got to know them really well, and what they do is they do service learning for high schools. Service learning meaning like, hey, we're going to provide the experience, we're going to make the booking, we're going to travel, bring your students, high school, college students. And then that turned into, they needed B-roll, like little short B-roll clips. I'm like, sign me up, Belize, Hawaii, anywhere, because I love to travel. And that turned into like all these students were wanting to learn more teaching wise. Mm-hmm. And so that developed into working with Orange County High School of Arts out of LA. We taught 14 days in Alaska.
Yeah.
We had four teams, you know, A roll, B roll, you know, director, and kind of audio. And so each team, like one team worked with the homeless shelter out of Anchorage, one worked with a couple other places. Let's see, we did the Denali National Park. So formulated these videos.
And did you prepare that entire program? And
yes, we put together and programmed the students. I work with a professor as far as they had to do their homework beforehand, know about the area, you know, have their shot list, have their storyboard, and then they use that as their one of their finals for you know their school
year.
What
year was that? That's like sounds.
I think that was 3 years
intense,
ago.
Intense, yeah. That's intense.
So, yeah, it was awesome. And that's when I really learned, because these students, what they do is they go to normal school and then they go to three hours after school every day and film. And I'd ask the professor, I'm like, I'm not sure what I can offer. Right. You know, these students are like, they know more than me when it comes down to it. It's like we need real world experience. Like we need, I'm like, all right, let's do it. So, but when I was teaching them, it was pretty neat because I could have conversation with them and I realized like, I love teaching.
Mm.
So it was a great experience. So.
And you're going to plan one in Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii's one of them. Hawaii, Mexico in here. So
So that's on deck.
Yeah.
And many other things are on deck too. So you won South Walton TDC Artist of the Year in 2020.
Last year, 2022 now? Yeah, 2021.
2021. And that was still in the COVID 2 year sort of like upside down world. And so, congratulations.
Thanks.
On winning
Thank
that.
You.
That's awesome. And then unfortunately, because COVID kind of waylaid the ability for you to like go out and travel like to Nashville and show your work and all that. You know, that's one of the things that happened in COVID that probably wasn't ideal for you. But what I know happened during COVID is you've like had this whole pivot of your warehouse studio that I saw yesterday that rivals studios in New York, and you did it all I think in the last 10 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about it. And you did a lot of the work in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really have to see it to believe it, to see like what an exceptional job you did with that and all that can become. I know that for us, professionally, that you are a sponsor of the Heritage V Legacy Show Home. So you are going to be, creating, the documentary with us on the show home. And you were just out there last week, but then when I got to see it yesterday and our team got to see, you know, what we're going to do with that, like, I just felt so good about like, I mean, I didn't tell you this yesterday, but I thought about it. Like, you know, talk about right time, right place, because it didn't exist 8 months ago when we talked, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now, right now, when we actually need to actually film it and produce it, it's here.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you thought about that, but the timing is uncanny for what we need to do right now. And it's exciting on so many levels because it's a beautiful home. It's our fifth show home, and we're really excited about it with all of the other sponsors that we are partnering with and the new developers. And my husband is the architect on the home too, so that's fun. All that is awesome. But what's really, really exciting is that Julian Lennon, who was our cover guy on our 100th issue, is going to come to visit. And so the VIP opening party is going to be a swanky solo exhibition of Julian's artwork.
That's cool.
And like that is just manna from heaven.
Yeah,
like
right.
You know, like how can you?
Yeah, not
like,
a whole lot of opportunities come up like that.
Not a whole lot of opportunities come up like
it.
That. Yeah. So we're super excited that you're going to be part of that too. And like I was talking about earlier, we have permission that you know he's cool with us shooting him and all that. So
mainly just selfies.
Yeah, maybe we can limit. Well,
right,
I'm sure he's used to
selfies,
right? You know, So yeah, we're excited to do that. And our inspiration for the show home, like we had talked about, is kind of like this Ralph Lauren vibe. It's got a different vibe than a lot of the other houses mm-hmm. down here. The interior designer, Deuce May of Deuce Interiors, is really doing an awesome job. And he basically has curated a lot of the art, if not all of it, with 6 pieces of Julian's as well. And he's kind of tricked out the house with the modern furniture line of Ralph Lauren. So it's going to be a little bit different than like what we know.
Yeah,
it to
right.
be,
yeah,
you know?
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. So we are super excited too. So getting to the studio. So multi-use studio.
It is, yeah.
You have a podcast studio in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't ask you this before, but like, do you want to have a podcast? Or are you going to have other people come in and like rent the space and like?
So really, the idea with the space is to have, because there's nothing really else like it here, and at the same time, I'm an encourager of growth. Like, doesn't matter what it comes down to. So to allow access to other photographers to use it, to have workshops, to have like creative meetups. But yeah, ideally where it's a rental studio, to have other photographers be able to use it. I've said this for a few years now, but to even have it like, I want to have it, it's called Superhero Saturdays. Have mom, we have 3 boys, right? So there's like, and my wife's amazing, which it's her birthday today, by the way. But
happy birthday.
So, you know, costumes and everything. So I've always wanted to have like Superhero Saturdays, like, and work with other photographers, and they can come in and donate to a non-for-profit, whatever.
But bring their
kids in, outfit it up, you know, and take photos of them.
Will your 14-year-olds do that?
So, I don't know.
Do teenagers do that?
I don't have to pay them.
Maybe.
But the idea is to have a creative space. The podcast is just more so of just like where we can do reviews or, you know, kind of talk
like
about
a sound,
equipment.
Soundstage too.
Yeah, but like that's also in debate right now because Avis, I've been working on this fine art project. I've started shooting film again, and now I'm debating on putting it in a dark room. And so there's sacrifice of space. Film is very near and dear to my heart. And as I've been shooting, I've become more and more back to my roots of that. So that's kind of I'm playing out how that scenario will work, you know.
Yeah, I could see that would be a good dark room as well. So, you know, when I would see your work and everything, you know, not that I'm pigeonholing you, but you know, people just do this. They just say, "Oh, that person does that creatively,"
sure.
right? And it's just like a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to you, and you're so much more prolific, which is like one of the many reasons we're talking to you on the podcast with all you've done and how successful you've been.
Thank you.
Like a real testament to you. You know, I'm so glad that I went there yesterday too, because it was a big eye opener. Because what I want to talk about is your new vision to do the environmental art series, and you segue from like what I had known you to be before, which is still
going
to happen,
yeah.
still like a photographer, but now you're going into fine art photography, and you have things to say.
Sure.
You have messages that are near and dear to your heart. This is a creative outlet rather than just a photo shoot expose. You just finished it very recently. And I'm going to just let you talk about what the vision is, just like you told me like last year what it was going to be.
Yeah, right. So kind of the story is that, one, I've grown up here. I've been in the water my whole life. And so I think that naturally plays into my DNA. At the same time, while growth here in the area, I think it's amazing. There's struggles, right? Environmental struggles. So an occurrence happened over a year ago now where it really almost turned into like a fist fight. And because of me, because I was in the water, and just this anger snapped and with it to this fisherman. And so I had to really kind of recalibrate and like.
But what was it? Like, what was that?
Well, we tripped. I hit his line.
Oh.
Out, and I was just testing camera equipment.
Okay.
Like, beautiful morning. It's like my zen, you know, just testing out camera equipment, not shooting anything. And have my mask on. I can clearly see his line. And a friend of mine walked over. He's like kind of joking behind the scenes pictures. And the guy just lost it, like started yelling at him like relentlessly. And he was apologetic, my friend was. And the fisherman would not let up. And so
he wanted you out of his waters.
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I like gave an earful to the fishermen, which normally I could digest it. Like normally I'm not one to yell or speak, you know, but something snapped. And so from that, I realized like I have deep, like there's deep down, I don't want to say like pinned up anger maybe. So I had to kind of digest that and see like, okay, as an artist, I had the ability to speak. And so I wanted to do the shoot, and so I wrote down like how it plays out and what I was envisioning and put a mood board to it and storyboard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just shot it. So we just shot it about 2 weeks ago, and it's pretty amazing because it's one of the first pieces that I've had a vision and it's executed.
And you like how it's...
Love it.
And I love how it's executed
so,
too.
Because it's not like your simple... It's not like, you know, trash everywhere, and like there's so many cliche, I think, environmental shots. Mm-hmm. And this one to me is, it's the hidden part. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But what she's wearing, you wouldn't even know it's from this, you know, high-end couture kind of line. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievably executed.
But the message, though, if I remember when you told this to me about 8 months ago, is that it's all about, like, the ravaging of the seas.
And yeah, so the basically the environment, and I have my notes, like, the environment does here, especially in a lot of places, there's no voice. Like, we take and take and take, and mm-hmm. we never really give. How can we give? And we can give to non-for-profits, but really we take. Mm. And so this is about the environment not having a voice. And it's right here in our own backyards. This mm-hmm. happened, you know, from microplastics, all kind of stuff. So
where did you shoot that footage that I just saw?
Right here in the bay.
Okay.
Yeah,
the bay.
So right here. Oh. Yeah. So yeah, so there's a lot of negatives, but there's also ways, you know, as an artist, that's one of the great things, and especially fine art photography, where I come from a fundamental background of film. Mm-hmm. And so for me, even down to printing, like you get into print sizes that matter based upon the negative size. Mm-hmm. So fine art photography to me, this is kind of the initial launch of fine art series. Mm-hmm. Coming up.
So you're going to launch your first show mm-hmm. soon.
Yep.
Do you know when?
No, okay. I'll have the dates. Actually, by the end of this week, we'll have the dates. I think it's going to be probably around the 20th of June. So you have Father's Day, I think it's the 19th. Okay. I'm thinking about the 20, like the middle, like maybe 23rd, 24th of June.
Okay. So you'll have, this is on the second floor of your gallery.
Yeah, the gallery in Grayton Beach.
In Grayton mm-hmm. Beach. And it looks like a really good space. I walked up there one day when Andrew was there a mm-hmm. couple weeks ago. I said, let me go see the space. Nothing's really on the wall right now. Anyway, yeah. It looked really good.
Yeah.
Like it feels
Thanks.
Different.
Yeah, it's totally different. Yeah.
It's totally different yep. than, it's interesting. Interesting space. That's going to be a good space with all the wood. Did you put that on there too?
Yeah, I outfitted it. Yep.
You outfitted that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get bored really easy. Oh, so the more I can stay occupied, the better. So, okay. But I actually really enjoy woodwork. So mm-hmm. that's,
It's kind of an art too, you know.
Yeah, it's just more of like, you know, you're kind of in that moment, so you're just kind of mm-hmm. work on it. Mm-hmm. But
and so, how many pieces are you going to show?
So there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There'll be 11 pieces.
Okay, and the price range is going to
It'll be a $10,000 floor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. So there'll be from 101s where you actually like get the negative that'll be included. So it's past, present, future mm-hmm. is the name of the exhibit. Mm-hmm. Past meaning the film. Present meaning digital, and future meaning NFTs, which is a whole nother topic of conversation. But it's a tie-in to where we're going to start advertising and actually helping promote like environmental advocacy through that.
Can you please, for myself, if for nobody else out there, give me a little bit more education? I have such a rudimentary understanding of NFTs, but let me tell you why I talked to Julian's agent about. So she said, well, do you want anything else to happen there? And so he might play his song Imagine, because he said that somehow he's going to have an NFT with that, and they would do that at the party. So I know this sounds ridiculous, but tell me what that means.
I don't really know what that means other than, I mean, it's digital, so the lyrics can be, I don't know, bought, used. Uh-huh. For me, the understanding of NFT is basically like if you believe in crypto, so meaning the best case, like right now, like you have the Ukraine in the war, right?
Yes.
So if you take monetization like funding, how people are getting money.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, okay, well, Ukraine, it was all based, their whole currency is crypto. You wouldn't have issues with them getting money, right? Because they can go to anywhere in the world, and it's the same currency.
Yeah.
So instead, you have centralized banks, like this Pony Express dollar, like, hey, let me write you a check. Mm-hmm. I need to go to the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
It's very primitive. So where if it was crypto-based, they could simply have their savings or whatever it is, and they could be in Italy or U.S. or wherever they needed to be and still have access to that, opposed to these brick-and-mortar banks that are heavily monitored mm-hmm. and heavily politicized, and you have all the bureaucratic red tape. So simply said, my perspective of what NFTs are and my approach is if you're going to get into crypto, then why not buy an NFT? You help the artist out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that resell, the artist can make money. So that value of the NFT is going to go up based upon the currency. So if you're going to get into the currency, you might as well support an artist. For me, it's more blending the physical world and the physical wallet and the virtual wallet.
So, like, in this case, would like 10 different people purchase the same piece of work?
So you can fractionalize it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can fractionalize it. So something I'm planning on doing is having, so say Western Lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Popular photo. Mm-hmm. I've crazy amounts of them. My concept is to have it where I'm going to create collections is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a Western Lake collection. And who knows, there might be 5 images or might be 10.
Mm-hmm.
But for simplicity, let's say there's just one. So say there's one image, but I'm going to fractionalize it, 200 times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell 200 of those. Each one of them I'm going to sell for $2,000. You can do whatever. You can, use it for your business. You can print it. You can print it to sell it. You can tattoo it, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have the print rights to it.
Mm.
50% of that is going to go to an environmental advocacy group. So I want to fundraise through it.
Because
it becomes real world applicable,
know.
And so I think there's a lot of power that can be done through monetization that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into a deeper step, a decentralized organization,
mm-hmm.
and you can literally see where the funds are and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be. That mm-hmm. you should be able to see, hey, if it's a non-for-profit, where is the 20% going, 80% is going into payroll?
Mm-hmm.
So where the decentralized organization, you can actually see
mm-hmm.
what advocacy, where is it going, like mm-hmm. who we hire, what environmental.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my fundamental, and that's something that's been in the works for a long time, and it's still, there's a lot of different steps that go into it. But that's on the chopping block.
It's
for sure.
Very much here, no matter if you don't, whether you want it or not, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And like the wave is just not going anywhere. It's just,
correct.
It's coming in, and people are going to have to get used to it because in the last like 6 months, I'm hearing so much about it.
Think about like all the people like Western Union. Like, so if you have Latins, particularly like mm-hmm. Western Union, it's 20% of their money gone.
Mm-hmm.
To get them funding.
Right.
And simply like you should be able to send money to your mom or dad or friend.
Without the cut.
Yeah, without,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it because it's an industry disruptor. And,
right.
It's a competition.
Correct.
And competition makes everybody better
mm-hmm.
and more accountable.
It does. So. Let's talk about your Western Lake Andy Warhol series, which I have quite a love for. And I think
I kind of got that impression.
I like it. It's different. You know what I love about it? Is that so many photographers have shot Western Lake. It's kind of a joke, right? It's
sure.
the most photographed, iconic place here, right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And pretty much almost everybody that does photograph it, it's a nice iteration and it's all different, but somewhat the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first iteration of Western Lake that actually was different.
Gotcha.
And that's why
I take that as
I'm
a compliment.
captivated by it.
Yeah.
So, all right, talk about that.
So a few years back, I had this idea. A client, they had done this big art install, and they wanted me to take photos of their girls, but for like this really cool art, creative, funky room. And I'm like, well, let's do it. I'll shoot it studio, white seamless, and we'll do this Warhol kind of thing. I've always had a great respect for Warhol because he's essentially a photographer when it comes down to the basis of his work, right? So, and I think that's part of the respect, but that's also the challenge of photography because so many times, oh, it's just a photograph. You hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this concept with the client, it never, curated or never happened. But the idea spun off. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to do this, like Warhol Lake. Like, I need to do this. And I shoot it all the time. And mm-hmm. I rarely ever shoot it. I don't think I ever have really, like, oh, I'm going to go take this and then make money on it. I shoot it because I can't sleep. I wake up sunrise. Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and different. It's shooting the same thing.
Yeah, it looks
it's
different. It's
harder than shooting different stuff mm-hmm. because you have to be more creative.
Right.
So that's kind of how that originated. And I hadn't done anything with it in a long time. And then finally, having the warehouse studio, I had the space to sprawl out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I made the boxes and everything. And it was good. It's like a solid week of full focus.
What size are they? They're large.
40 by 60.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they're just a bunch, you know, mixed different images. I mean, it looked like a scrapyard of just picking and placing and, mm-hmm. and doing it. But that's kind of how that originated. And we've done like sweaters, like, so we've done a run of 50.
Oh, that would be nice.
So, and they're the numbers on the sleeve, and it's on the back. So,
is that in the?
It's in the gallery. Yeah. So we normally have about 3 in stock, mm-hmm. and then we'll print to order.
So what I saw of the series yesterday in the studio, will that be part of the fine art series?
So that won't be part of the fine art. Yeah. So that'll be in the gallery though. Okay. So they're just really big pieces. So yeah, I run out of space.
They are big
so,
pieces.
We have thought about doing screen printing of them.
Uh-huh.
Cause that goes back to Warhol even more because yep. of the, you know, the uniqueness of his work, the screen print, and we'll do like runs of 50, mm-hmm. On that. So, mm-hmm.
What is the most popular photograph that you've sold, like that you keep selling it over and over again?
I mean, there's definitely Western Lake ones in there, mm-hmm. For sure. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, relation of sea turtles are a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's been like a love affair my whole life. Yeah. I've just, you know,
yeah, taken some great shots of turtles too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's kind of the more popular. But we do. So I think something that's, I was just in the Keys and, you know, went into Peter Licks Gallery, and there's a really respected artist, the De La Gallery on Duval Street that I've mm-hmm. talked to and spoken with him, and he's just Hasselblad Award winner, fine art photographer. And something that's really unique, I didn't realize till I was down there, is, and they're great, like, I mean, unbelievable, is that we do a lot of customization. Mm-hmm. We'll do Photoshop renderings and, like, do all these kind of takeoffs because we had this open edition series of all these images. And it's a point of difference that I didn't realize how big mm-hmm. a point of difference it is mm-hmm. Until I went just recently and saw their work down there, and just kind of made me realize, like, man, that's because we do all the customization for it. So we have this inventory of, like, what is printed in the gallery is like mm-hmm. a fraction of what I'm shooting regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So on mm-hmm. archiving, that's a whole nother story.
Yes. But you would need multiple computers for that,
yeah.
right?
Or yeah, big Dropbox folder.
Totally. So. I don't think we talked about your fairly recent trip to Cuba. Tell me about that.
So I have a place when I was traveling after high school. So I went down to Mexico, and I have this photo image, and I have this little scrapbook. Did a photo of a baby on, and it's like the U.S.-Mexican border, and the baby's sleeping on the concrete, you know, covered in a blanket. But that image always stuck with me. And so I've always had a place in my heart for humanitarian work.
Mm-hmm.
So Cuba, a gentleman came into the gallery, saw some of my travel stuff. And he's like, hey, I go to Cuba every year. We work with this non-for-profit out of Tampa. And I'm like, well, let me know how I can help. You know, so I'm like, I'll pay my way, however I can help. Because there's a big need. Non-for-profits wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they can take photos when they're there. But the reality is that there's so many different tasks at hand. And so I offer my service for them. And I did. So I paid my way to mm-hmm. do it. I was pretty much like a pack mule. It's for water filtration and installation
mm-hmm.
Down there. So, but I'm like, I want to be able to create content. Because every company needs yeah. marketing material.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it got me into the great thing about the non-for-profits, selfish endeavor, is that I get to be really intimate with villages and places that I couldn't just show up with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like becoming part of that family or that tribe's mm-hmm. family or just mm-hmm. part of that uniqueness right then.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there, shot for 2 weeks, did a short film for them, content as well, still images and kind of explaining the story. Mm-hmm. Also got to keep a lot of travel, do a lot of travel photography mm-hmm. when I was down there. So yeah, very unique experience. I'm glad I did
mm-hmm.
Because you know, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And then COVID, like everything's much more harder to travel now than it mm-hmm. was before ever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so sometimes, you know, with being a photographer, it's a very unique position because you can offer something that, you know, others can use and use for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And I find joy in that, yeah. you know, especially on the humanitarian level. Right. So,
and then you get to experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Life experiences that are grounding yeah. and regrounding.
Right. Totally.
And especially being in this beautiful area we live, it's always been important to me to kind of get off the island for a little bit and to kind of have a perspective.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
It really is. In our little paradise, you need to know that it's not all that.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
yeah.
you know, yeah. they don't have what we have. What else? Okay. So this is what I ask everybody toward the end of the interview, and that is the podcast was intended to be a platform, obviously, to tell people stories and get up close and personal, but also to, you know, be encouraging and inspirational and all that. So what are some of you as an entrepreneur, photographer, creative business owner, some words of wisdom about, like, how to encourage somebody to, like, do what they want to do?
That's a good question. You know, I've been really fortunate. You know, for me, I feel like a lot of timing kind of is a very important part of my, I mean, anybody's life, but kind of the sequence of how, but the reality, there's a lot of realities that I think, you know, if I have any intern that works with me, I ask them what they want to do. Like, hey, what do you want to do, like, with photography or cinematography, or, you know? And, you know, some are like, hey, I want to be, like, a surf photographer and go live on the North Shore, and it's great. That road probably is going to end up with a lot of financial means at the end of the day. But I would say, you know, you got to want it. Mm. You got to shoot, and you got to shoot daily and shoot, you know. You got to want it, and you got to be able to realize that it's not all... you know, especially operating a business, and, you know, I mean, the creative nuggets that come across are what keep you going. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's a lot of hustle. Mm-hmm. And, but that's also the beauty. And so if you're passionate about something, do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I left my full-time job in property management in 2014, mm-hmm. Three boys,
it's
you
not
know,
that long
family.
Ago, really, for what no. you did, what you've accomplished.
And so, you know, my wife was really supportive, yeah. but it was a leap. I mean, yeah. it was a leap from, like, steady income mm-hmm. to, like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, I love this. I am making some money. How would I make it into real money? Mm. And, you know, but for me, my mind doesn't stop. And mm-hmm. I think I'm constantly creating, new mental images and, mm-hmm. And also, like, how can I grow the business? The psyche of sales, also a whole nother thing, mm-hmm. but for, like, encouragement, I would say find what you're passionate about mm-hmm. and do it. And that sounds cliche.
I know, but it's true.
But, you know, as much as I've traveled, you realize what percentage of people don't follow their passion. And it's sad in a lot of ways. And I'm very fortunate that yeah. I've been able to make a living. I never thought I'd be able to make a living as a photographer. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, just,
yeah,
you know, you got to put in the time.
Yeah, you do.
And so...
well, it's great that you mentor people, too. I think that that's really important. And if you're a creative person, I don't really know too many creatives that are very good at what they do that don't want to mentor people, because yeah. that's just an extension of, like, the love of whatever you learned, and then you want to, like, kind of pass it down to
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And just bring up new talent, because sometimes people don't help people. And when I was coming up in the rank, I didn't have too many people, like, take me by the hand and pull me up, you know? Like, I really had to figure
sure.
it out. And I wonder sometimes, like, why that happened. But then I also thought, well, I'm not going to be that person that's not going to look back and help somebody else, you know?
Yeah, that's, you know, we live in a small town here, but I think the ability to help and encourage, and, like, for me, I'm an open book. If somebody wants to know my settings on a camera or whatever, mm-hmm. sure, it's mm-hmm. it's great. And that's a beauty of art, is that mm-hmm. it's a different perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important. I think that's, you know, the thing we need most and more is more right. human connection and real life connection.
Right.
And that can be hard in the right. world we live in.
Right. Okay. So this is going to be a super deviation from it, but I didn't bring it up yet. Okay. Talk to me about that. You are on the film crew of the, what's the name of it? That
Paper Bear.
Paper Bear. Talk about that, please. I find it fascinating.
So one, working with Sean Couch and Eric's, working with Sean has been, I've done a couple projects with him now, and he's got to be the nicest person on the planet. I mean, mm-hmm. he's always fun. He's always upbeat, tons of energy. But really, really, he's a great to work with because he has like an environmental underlying in their foundation. And at the same time, he allows you to be creatively shoot, you know, he trusts you. And so, so the Paper Bear film, we've been working on it for a little bit over a year now. Mm-hmm. And there's previews and stuff like that that we were launched at the Biophilia Center a few months back. So we're shooting the rest of it this fall, mm-hmm. You know, from models, talents, the whole works. What's crazy about it is that, you know, I'm native here and spent the majority of my life in the water. But as this film goes through like the steep heads and northern part of the county, and one of my big roles is to do the underwater portion of it. But at the same time, I've been working with Eric's and camping mm-hmm. out, and like he's the kingdom kind of on the Kusi property.
He's the bear.
yeah, he is the bear guy. He kind of smells like a bear now. I think this. Aww. But yeah, he's I'm jealous because I mean the dude has spent so much time in the forest. Mm-hmm. Like just really, some of the footage is just just crazy. So it's been really neat on learning more, like how biodiverse this area is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the longleaf pine, I never knew. Like, yeah, you know, they do the controlled burns. But why do they do it? How it evolved? You get into the paper industry, and that's kind of the symbology of like the paper bear. You know, the history of not just St. Joe, but just the history of the paper industry. You know, in the turn of the century, and that's not what the film's about. But as far as the history, but it's more, you know, this environment, how the black bear is like the universal kind of connector to the rest of the life here. So. Right. Yeah, it's been really neat.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of layers of what you've been doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
when you think about it, it's a lot.
Well, the way that Sean and I'm not a storyteller, and this is where Sean and Eric's are just amazing. Like they like the script and the pages and pages of documents writing and.
Well, it has anime in it too, right?
Correct. Yeah, which is... I think it's a film that hasn't really like this style I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And it's really captivating, and I think it's done really well as far as when we, you know, be executed.
I can't wait to see it. So, I really can't wait to see it. Well, congratulations on that, too. Just to be on that project is, like, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Chandler, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Very interesting guy. Super good interview. Thank you so much. Yeah. And let's tell the listeners your web address, how they get in touch with you, your Instagram and all that.
Sure. So we have been doing better on our social game, which is great.
Cool. I know. You're good at that.
So
you're a good marketing person.
At Modus Photo, M-O-D-U-S-P-H-O-T-O, is the best on social. ModusPhotography.com is our web address. And we'll have, you know, we're kind of building that up as well as far as the fine art portion. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? We're actually running a fun campaign right now. It's called Size Does Matter.
Okay.
So you'll see those coming out, but it has to do with like high res and how it relates to printing and all the fun techie nerdy specs on
that. That will get a lot of attention.
I think so. Yeah. You know, you got to have humor with it, right?
You do.
But yeah, just modusphotography.com and then at Modus Photo is for our Instagram handle. So.
Well, thank you for being a guest. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad to be working with you guys.
Oh, yeah, we are too. Well, thanks everyone for listening. I think this has been a super enlightening and interesting interview. Thank you, Chandler. And we look forward to bringing you more great stories on V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. And thanks again for listening.